Here is how Billy Pilgrim lost his wife, Valencia. He was unconscious in the hospital in Vermont after the airplane crashed on Sugarbush Mountain, and Valencia, having heard about the crash, was driving from Ilium to the hospital in the family Cadillac Eldorado Coupe de Ville. Valencia was hysterical because she had been told frankly that Billy might die, or that if he lived, he might be a vegetable. Valencia adored Billy. She was crying and yelping so hard as she drove that she missed the correct turnoff from the throughway. She applied her power brakes, and a Mercedes slammed into her from behind. Nobody was hurt, thank God, because both drivers were wearing seatbelts. Thank God, thank God. The Mercedes lost only a headlight, but the rear end of the Cadillac was a body and fender man's wet dream. The trunk and fenders were collapsed. The gaping trunk looked like the mouth of a village idiot who was explaining that he didn't know anything about anything. The fenders shrugged. The bumper was at a high port arms. "Reagan for president," a sticker on the bumper said. The back window was veined with cracks. The exhaust system rested on the pavement. The driver of the Mercedes got out and went to Valencia to find out if she was all right. She babbled hysterically about Billy and the airplane crash, and then she put her car in gear and crossed the median divider, leaving her exhaust system behind. When she arrived at the hospital, people rushed to the windows to see what all the noise was. The Cadillac, with both mufflers gone, sounded like a heavy bomber coming in on a wing and a prayer. Valencia turned off the engine, but then she slumped against the steering wheel and the horn brayed steadily. A doctor and a nurse ran out to find out what the trouble was. Poor Valencia was unconscious, overcome by carbon monoxide. She was a heavenly azure. 1 hour later, she was dead. So it goes. Billy knew nothing about it. He dreamed on and traveled in time and so forth. The hospital was so crowded that Billy couldn't have a room to himself. He shared a room with a Harvard University professor named Bertram Copeland Rumford. Rumford didn't have to look at Billy because Billy was surrounded by white linen screens on rubber wheels. But Rumford could hear Billy talking to himself from time to time. Rumford's left leg was in traction. He had broken it while skiing. He was 70 years old, but had the body and spirit of a man half that age. He had been honeymooning with his fifth wife when he broke his leg. Her name was Lily. Lily was 23. Just about the time poor Valencia was pronounced dead, Lily came into Billy's and Rumford's room with an armload of books. Rumford had sent her down to Boston to get them. He was working on a one-volume history of the United States Army Air Corps in World War II. The books were about bombings and sky battles that had happened before Lily was even born. "You guys go on without me," said Billy Pilgrim deliriously, as pretty little Lily came in. She had been an a-go-go girl when Rumford saw her and resolved to make her his own. She was a high school dropout. Her IQ was 103. "He scares me," she whispered to her husband about Billy Pilgrim.
"He bores the hell out of me," Rumford replied boomingly. "All he does in his sleep is quit and surrender and apologize and ask to be left alone."
Rumford was a retired brigadier general in the Air Force Reserve, the official Air Force historian, a full professor, the author of 26 books, a multimillionaire since birth, and one of the great competitive sailors of all time. His most popular book was about sex and strenuous athletics for men over 65. Now he quoted Theodore Roosevelt,
whom he resembled a lot. I could carve a better man out of a banana.
One of the things Rumford had told Lily to get in Boston was a copy of President Harry S. Truman's announcement to the world that an atomic bomb had been dropped on Hiroshima. She had a Xerox of it, and Rumford asked her if she had read it. No, she didn't read well, which was one of the reasons she had dropped out of high school. Rumford ordered her to sit down and read the Truman statement now. He didn't know that she couldn't read much. He knew very little about her, except that she was one more public demonstration that he was a Superman. So Lily sat down and pretended to read the Truman thing, which went like this. 16 hours ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima, an important Japanese army base. That bomb had more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. It had more than 2,000 times the blast power of the British Grand Slam, which is the largest bomb ever yet used in the history of warfare. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid manyfold, and the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces. In their present form, these bombs are now in production, and even more powerful forms are in development. It is an atomic bomb. It is a harnessing of the basic power of the universe. The force from which the sun draws its power has been loosed against those who brought war to the Far East. Before 1939, it was the accepted belief of scientists that it was theoretically possible to release atomic energy, but nobody knew any practical method of doing it. By 1942, however, we knew that the Germans were working feverishly to find a way to add atomic energy to all the other engines of war with which they hoped to enslave the world. But they failed. We may be grateful to Providence that the Germans got the V-1s and V-2s late and in limited quantities, and even more grateful that they did not get the atomic bomb at all. The Battle of the Laboratories held fateful risks for us, as well as the battles of the air, land, and sea, and we have now won the Battle of the Laboratories, as we have won the other battles. We are now prepared to obliterate more rapidly and completely every productive enterprise the Japanese have above ground in any city, said Harry Truman. We shall destroy their docks, their factories, and their communications. Let there be no mistake. We shall completely destroy Japan's power to make war. It was to spare, and so on.